beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. for this evening is the next portion of the Passion History. Then the whole multitude of those arose and bound Jesus, led him from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned to death, felt remorse, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to that." And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed, and went and hanged himself. And he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them in the treasury, because they are the price of blood." And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so to this day, that field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, the field of blood. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." But the Jews did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." And the chief priests and elders began to accuse him vehemently, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus stood before him and answered, "Are you speaking for yourself, or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." And the chief priests and elders accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you. Do you not hear?" But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. But they were more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean, and as soon as they knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracles done by him. And he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod became mutual friends, for before there had been enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, nor did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And there was at that time a notorious prisoner named Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison with his fellow insurrectionists, who had committed murder in the insurrection made in the city. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. And when they gathered together, Pilate answered, "You have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, the king of the Jews, who is called Christ?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders stirred up the people and persuaded them that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" The whole crowd cried out, saying, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, spoke again to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said to them a third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they cried out more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole band of soldiers around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown out of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him and began to salute him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him in the face and spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium, and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you, and the power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me, unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood will be on us and our children." Then he released to them Barabbas, whom they requested, who had been thrown in prison for insurrection and murder. But he delivered Jesus, after he scourged him, to their will, to be crucified. Here ends the lesson.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Peace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of Barabbas in our reading tonight is from a longer version, especially in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, but also in a very short version in the 18th chapter of John, which we hear again. "But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Barabbas might seem to be just another bizarre incident, which, in terms of human justice, is a sham with stupidity heaped upon stupidity. And perhaps, as we hear the reading of our Passion history, we pass over that part of the story with a sigh. What losers were these who preferred Barabbas, a notorious criminal, insurrectionist, robber, and murderer, over the innocent Jesus? But as a matter of fact, the matter of Barabbas offers a very high point of illumination as to the real nature of this event, which is described for us in this Passion history, which goes to the very heart of our salvation. If we put it this way, perhaps it more immediately becomes clear. Jesus took the place of Barabbas. Now, we understand that it was for people like you and me that Jesus suffered and died. But then, if we see that far and no further, then we have not grasped the enormity of what our Lord has done. But as soon as Barabbas, robber, murderer, insurrectionist, and whatever else he was guilty of, becomes the representative of those in whose place Jesus stands, then we may have to re-examine our understanding of this part of the story. First, let us consider some of the things that the Bible shows us about our Lord's act as a substitute, as a scapegoat. The Savior is pictured, the Messiah is pictured already in the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus, in the establishment of the Day of Atonement, as a scapegoat, on whom the sins of the people are heaped and then sent out into the wilderness to wander and to die. Hundreds of years after that, Isaiah wrote in his prophecy of the suffering servant in that well-known 53rd chapter of Isaiah, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all," which certainly points back to that scapegoat in Leviticus. And that theme is repeated over and over and over again also in the New Testament. St. Paul wrote, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" And perhaps most alarming of all, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." God made him to be sin. Now, what that means, we also see in the account in the Gospel of Jesus' baptism. Remember that Jesus came to John, his cousin, to be baptized. John, we are told in the Gospel of Mark, came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. In other words, to submit to the baptism of John the Baptizer was to acknowledge one's sinfulness. And so Jesus comes to John, Who has said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? And Jesus says, "John, baptize me." John knows better. He who is baptizing for the forgiveness of sin says, "No, you should be baptizing me." But Jesus says, "No, for this is the way we, Jesus, the Son of God, must fulfill all righteousness." And so John baptizes Jesus. Now, Martin Luther, in a sermon on the baptism of Jesus, says here, shockingly perhaps, "At this point, Jesus becomes the worst sinner of all time. So completely did he step into the place of all men. By his baptism, by submitting to this baptism of John, Jesus has made it clear that he does, in fact, in full reality, bear the sins of all men. As God imputes or credits Christ's righteousness to me, so he has imputed or credited my unrighteousness to him." And this is called the vicarious atonement, the substitutionary atonement. Jesus is my substitute. This is his work for reconciliation between man and God. In my place, he carries all sin, mine and yours, to the cross. He suffers for my enmity against God. But of course, I might want to think that that's not such a terrible load to carry. I'm not a murderer, a traitor, an insurrectionist, a denier of my Lord, a robber, a rapist, or any such thing. But of course, St. Paul starts to chip away at my self-righteousness when he includes me in this: "For when we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. But still I may not be so bad as I think of myself." But now comes Barabbas. Barabbas, the notorious criminal, murderer, insurrectionist, robber, one who might very well have been one of those who was crucified with Jesus. But he was freed from that. And now Pilate is about to play a really shrewd trick on the Jews. "Okay, it's your custom at the Passover feast," a custom, of course, not commanded by God, but a custom to release a prisoner. And the most notorious prisoner is Barabbas. So he comes to mind. So Pilate offers, "Do you want to have Barabbas released or Jesus?" A slam dunk, he thought. It would have to be Jesus because he's not a real criminal. They're just jealous of him. But those who make such offers usually are fooled. And so Pilate was. "We would have Barabbas," says the crowd. So Barabbas is freed, and Jesus takes his place in the cell for those who are intended to face the cross. Now, if you have not thought about it before, now you must. The one who comes to represent those who are the objects of Christ's suffering and death is not the upstanding average citizen. Barabbas, the notorious criminal, He is the one who represents what I am. And this is what our Lord's vicarious substitutionary atonement signifies. He steps into the place of the worst sinner, me, pictured in Barabbas. And so St. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that chief doesn't mean the CEO, but it means the worst. By his stripes, by his suffering, by his hanging, by his death, we are healed. I am Barabbas the traitor. I am Judas the betrayer. I am Peter the denier. I am in the crowd which demands freedom for Barabbas and crucifixion for Jesus, and among those who keep silence only for their own protection. I am Adam and Eve, who began it, and yet in whose sin I am a participant. And he is in my place. He suffers my whipping, my hanging, my bleeding, my dying, and my hell. We hear the crowd, the voice of the crowd in defiance. Let his blood be on us and on our children. Like Caiaphas, who unwittingly spoke the truth when he said, "It is expedient that one man die for the people," the crowd unwittingly also spoke the truth. Let his blood be on us and our children, not to be taken as permission for persecution of Jewish people, but as the kind of truth which comes from the mouth even of a donkey. His blood is upon us and our children. It's that blood that washes away all sin, also for the sin of those who called for his death. And it is a great flood, that blood is, so that God no longer charges our sins against us. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Believe that promise which is made to you by your Lord. For Jesus' sake, amen.